The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
My name is Ray Stakanis, and I have a 4-year-old daughter.
My name is Robert Clark Chan, and I have a 4-year-old son.
My name is Marshall Givens, and I have an 8-year-old son.
And I don't like Ray. He told me what to say, and I refuse to say it.
And you didn't even let Marshall finish his bit. This show's already ruined. You only let him get out one kid.
I'll what fix it happening? In post.
This is not getting fixed in post.
This is perfect.
This is perfect. Already ruined.
I love it.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to... This is an official Knowing is Half the Podcast and My Three Dads Holiday Crossover Spectacular. Shows used to do this a lot back in the 80s and 90s, where they would like loop together and they would like have a fun festivity thing. And so we're trying to do this today, and we couldn't do it last week even though we tried to, so we're doing it this week. We'll do it live. You already just heard our names. Maybe Gina said her name. I already forgot if she did, but we're going to be talking about holiday movies and holiday movies that we love that nobody else we can get on board for. What an amazing topic of conversation. Yes.
It started as us talking in My Three Dads about shows that we couldn't get our kids into, which is especially hurtful because, you know, like they're supposed to be into all the things that you're into. Otherwise, what's the point of having a clone? I mean, a child. So you like when we're like, no, this thing that you love so deeply and dearly and has touched your life is old man shit. That's don't care for that.
You know, I did get my kid to watch, she watched Transformers with me. We watched a couple of episodes and she was she's into it. Now, I'm not even trying G.I. Joe yet. Like, trust me, when she rejects that, it will completely destroy me inside.
Don't make her watch G.I. Joe. Show her good stuff that's not like weird military crap.
How dare Here's you? The G.I. Joe is, of course, brilliant. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast.
We have already shown G.I. Joe to a young female type who has had a wonderful career success as a direct result of it. Wow. So as far as I'm concerned, like that makes total sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, can only.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying don't show it to his daughter. There could only be one woman in the entertainment industry that knows G.I. Joe
point.
And therefore
Rearing
gets
its
all
ugly
the
head
you
right
think
there.
I want to you
is.
Think I want to compete with Luna for writing jobs in 10 years?
Whew. 10 years if you're lucky. Well, they walk she's gonna walk into the room and be like, oh, young fresh meat, let's do this.
No. Oh,
bye-bye
no.
Gina,
she's gonna have an overall deal by the time she's 7.
I mean, here's the deal. That wouldn't surprise me even a little bit. She is, of course, a genius.
As fathers, we have seen enough YouTube shit of fucking 5-year-old children who are making millions a month.
Yeah, but fuck those kids.
I'm just saying, like, would I like to live out the rest of my days in a palatial estate funded by my kid who just sits around opening shit all day long? Yes.
Oh, we talking
yes,
about
I
Ryan.
Would.
I know. No. I know who
yeah,
this
yeah,
is.
If we talked about Ryan's world because that's where we're going.
Right
now.
Yeah. My kid's got toys in the toy store now.
As soon as those kids turn 20, they're not taking care of your asses anymore. They're like going to therapy to talk about how you made them do YouTube videos, and they're definitely sticking you in a nursing home the second you show any sign of dementia. So
Gina.
Like
got millions.
But you get maybe 5 years of like living that cush life, and then after that, your kids are like never talk to you again.
Well, Gina, we've like been embezzling this entire time. Come on.
What are you talking about, dude? I don't need my kid to talk to me. I have the money.
No, that's when they go to a judge and they say, like, oh, my dad, Robert Clark Chan, he's crazy. He can't take care of himself. Make me the executor of his estate.
Uh oh.
And then he steals all that money back.
You flip it on Britney. That's exactly what you do. Come on.
That's rough. It's awful.
You know what? I mean, I guess I could get used to doing two shows a night in Vegas for the rest of my life.
Wow.
I don't feel good about it, but, you know, I'll probably have deserved it.
The problem is they're both podcasts. That's the
problem.
No
agency whatsoever. You're just forced to do two podcasts on the Luxor stage.
Honestly, with the life that I live now, catering to my child as well as the rest of my family here, it doesn't feel that different. It really doesn't. Like, I got to drive you somewhere. Oh, now I got to feed you. And now I got to like wash your hair. I got to wipe your butt. I get screamed at from upstairs. Daddy, come wipe my butt. Even if I'm 3 feet away from him, he has done this. He will turn around and say, Daddy, wipe my butt at the top of his voice. I'm right there. You don't need to scream. So if you're telling me that that's, I just have to do that, but in Vegas. Like, all right, I'm prepared. Yeah, I've trained for this.
Your kid doesn't even make $8 million a year making YouTube videos. Like, no, he makes zero. He makes no money at all. And Marshall, clearly, now I broached the subject earlier. We have time. This is a pretty open and loose episode. Okay. Marshall, what are your feelings? Talk to me about Ryan and Ryan's world, because I have my own thoughts, but I'd love to hear what you have to say. For real, real quick, for the people at home who don't have kids, don't know, Gina. Ryan.
Oh, no, I know who it is because I love like weird fucked up kids whose parents are like they've done a bunch of like CBS documentaries about like, is this child abuse? Let's do studies about it.
Go ahead.
I was so hoping that you were going to say that you had been called in to write a project for him.
It will happen eventually.
Yeah.
And he's just going to be sitting there on the other side of the desk going, I don't know. Your pitch is kind of weak. Can you do me something more than a dinosaur?
What's Murphy Brown again?
Wait a minute. You're on a G.I. Joe podcast? I'm back interested again.
Nice. That's always how it works.
There it is.
But
you
for
wish.
The people at home, because I didn't know who this kid was until very recently, relatively recently, the pandemic recently, is Ryan was like, what is he like 8 or 9 years old now. And for a few years now, he was doing like dumb, like play with toy videos. And then all of a sudden one day the algorithm hit one of them getting like millions and millions of views. And they just rolled the algorithm to the point where Ryan and his two like younger twin sisters just like they get paid to like go to fun places and then make family vacation videos that fucking 50 million people watch these videos online each one, and they can bang out a new one week after week after week. And so Ryan now makes $7 to $8 million a year on YouTube to the point where they just bought a mansion in Hawaii. And everyone has quit all their jobs to just make goddamn Ryan videos all day. And to what Marshall said, he now has Ryan toys in Target. In the stores, you can buy Ryan toys. This is the most upsetting thing in the world. At first, when I first saw the video, I'm like, oh, that's a fun vacation video. This boy is charming. These people are perfectly lovely. They're at Legoland because we were going to go to Legoland this summer. Mm-hmm. And so that's where, you know, I was going to watch for Legoland. And I found this Ryan video. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm like, oh, that was fun. You know, my kid, she enjoyed it, generally speaking. And then I look at it, and it had like 89 million views. And I was like, what the fuck is this world we're living in?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's Ryan.
Kids are stupid, and that kid's actually in trouble from the Truth in Advertising group.
What?
Yeah, because he's actually like the whole thing is you have to make it clear when crap is an ad, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's like there's a whole
you're supposed to tell
him laws when
sponsored
that say
by
this.
Yeah,
yeah, and so this is a kid who like sometimes he does. He does reviews that are just like, yay, oh my god, this toy is cool, and it's not, and he's not being paid, and other times he's being paid. So there are groups that are saying this is technically illegal. You can't like you have to make it clear more than just like a little thing at the bottom that says like this is sponsored, because stupid kids can't tell the difference between like a commercial and another kid playing with something. So when this kid is like, oh yay, I'm playing with this thing, but he's been paid to play with that thing and say he loves it, that's technically advertising, which violates a whole shit ton of FTC laws.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I feel like most of YouTube is ads, though. Most of YouTube is just people selling things. Like, spoiler alert.
But it's extra problematic when there are kids involved, and sure. it's aimed at kids because the laws are different.
Where were these laws back in the? I mean, I know they existed back in the 1980s. That is literally what every kid show was about.
No, actually, a lot of laws came about. Like have come about since then, and because also there's a slew of people saying because you know, like there are, like if you ever work on a TV show, for instance, that has kid actors, you have like really strict laws about how much they can work, how like for how many hours. And so there are parent groups who are saying what these stupid shitty YouTube kids are doing is technically working. And if they're being filmed all day, that is a violation of child labor laws. If they're working, it's a whole. But since it's so new, the laws haven't caught up to it yet. But a lot of people think it's you know, I think in the next decade or so, there will be a lot of laws. And also there's a whole thing of like, can kids even consent to have their lives like on camera all these times? I've watched a lot of specials with this because terrible parents fascinate me.
That's why you've been sticking around.
This feels this feels like a personal attack.
Yeah, wow. My goodness. The truth comes out in the Christmas crossover episode. Man, what I hear Gina saying right now is we better get him on camera quick before the laws change.
I feel like she's just been collecting these podcasts so that she can then sue us on behalf of our children.
Oh boy.
At some future date.
Future class action lawsuit.
Have you been taking your LSATs? Are you studying?
It's my backup job when I never work again.
Gina Hippolyto Esquire, huh? I wonder.
You know, Gina said for you too. She was on a pub crawl. It turns out she said she just passed the bar. And so it didn't click in my head until just now.
Wow.
Ray, it was not actually a pub crawl.
Ray, drown yourself in a bathtub, please.
Oh my God.
That one was wonderful. And how dare you all for disparaging it?
You know what? I'm going to give it up for that. That was pretty good.
Thank you. Thank you, Chan. I know I can at least get real from you. Sometimes too much, but in this case, plenty enough.
I'll let you know.
So I'm sorry, Marshall, I haven't even let you talk about this yet. Talk to me about Ryan's World, because you have
in case you're wondering why we don't do these crossovers very often, see them very often in television anymore, it's because it's always a clusterfuck.
Because everybody's drunk.
Well, I assume so.
B. Arthur's shorter panties again.
I know. It's crazy.
I'm going to feel really guilty if Marshall's like, I just took a job. I'm the new producer of Ryan's World. I'm glad everyone here likes it.
Hey, look, in this day and age, that's not too crazy. I actually shot a pilot. I co-starred in a pilot for one of these like YouTube stars from England.
Oh, yeah.
They gave him a pilot. Like a TV show, and they were like YouTube, and so I was like, so like, believe me, I know exactly what it's like. Let me just be careful who I make fun of around here all of this is ridiculous.
Was it Blippi? Please tell me it was effing Blippi.
He's not
Let me tell you what happened. If it was Blippi, I would take the job. And I would wait until the very last day of shooting, and then I would ruin everything and punch him in the face. I would destroy I wouldn't work in this town again, and I would probably be worth it.
Marshall,
I would just destroy everything on the last
Marshall,
day,
think just big picture. Big picture, you wait until he's alone, You drag him into the closet. You murder him. You put on his clothes.
Oh, shit.
Oh, God,
that audience does not give a shit.
Oh, my God, don't it's even, Blackie. They've That's already not Blippi. Done it once.
They've already done it once. You do it again, you're the new Blippi. You're
yeah, there was a second Mr. Blippi. Ripley'd him. There was a second Blippi who did the live shows, and nobody cared.
So he's like a Doom guy. Bot. Like, it's an MF Doom rapper. Like, they're just sending out a representative.
Oh my God. So I understand, Marcel. So you don't want to say anything about Ryan's World in case Ryan is your producer
contractually,
someday.
Contractually, I'm obligated. I can't say anything about Ryan.
You know what? That's fair. Gina, that confirmed it. He is the producer of the new Ryan TV show. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I haven't told you all this. I just hired Gina as my showrunner.
Oh, no. What is happening?
See, here's the thing. This is why they hired me, because I came in hot and critical.
Yes, exactly.
And they were like, this is what we need. We need a big thinker who recognizes the problems in the show. Not the first time I've been hired for that exact reason, by the way.
Let me tell you, I didn't want fan service. I didn't want somebody who was beholden to the canon of Ryan's Toy World. I wanted someone with fresh ideas. And I knew Gina was the woman to do it.
As we build the RCU.
Wait, it's already a world, so why would it have to be a universe? The Ryan's World.
You're thinking too small. It's Ryan's cinematic.
Well, man, this is Disney. This is Disney Chan. What are you doing?
Well, that was the thing, because obviously once we kind of learned the whole deal of what Ryan was all about, we didn't want her to be watching Ryan videos anymore, which I thought were only found on YouTube. So just sort of limit YouTube exposure, but it turns out there's this other app called, I think it's the Kid Doodle app.
You haven't even made it to friggin' Hulu yet.
Is he on Hulu as well?
I got nailed there, because I was like, I'll just go put it on the kids section and we'll be fine. Yeah. No! What Ryan, the fuck?
Ryan's
what are you
all
doing
up in
here? And no, now all of a sudden I'm some hobby kid shit, and I don't even, there's all sorts of crap that he's trying to watch now. Sometimes I gotta break down. I'm like, you know what? I need an hour to myself. Turn it on. You know what? You got this. Here's the iPad. Just do it.
Chan, you say, I need an hour to myself to watch some goddamn Ryan's World. Put it on.
me over behind the door just cracked open a little bit, just peeking over. Just like, yeah, Ryan, you open up. Oh, my God. Surprise eggs. Let's do this.
Oh, God. Surprise eggs. I love surprise eggs.
Wait, aren't surprise eggs the eggs that you put in your vagina?
Wait a second.
That is.
Those are extra surprising eggs.
Wait a second.
Look, we've talked about the splorch / ovipositor here. Those are surprise eggs.
I would love to know what the hell's a splorch.
Okay, well, okay, good
love
news.
Love the word.
I thought
need to
we
know
were going
now.
An entire Christmas special without talking about the ovipositor. Wow. But we're back here again. Gina, would you like to tell Marshall all about this wonderful Christmas gift idea?
But tell me, like you're telling me the night before Christmas story.
No. God damn it, Marshall. Get on Google right now. Just Google splorch. We're going to give you a moment to take it into your eyeballs, let it eat into your brain, and then you can tell
this,
us how you feel
the,
about
is
it.
Is this the standard spelling, or is it
ovipositor will probably yield more results.
Ovipositor? Okay, hold on. Let me see. I got splorch here.
Splorch is right at the top there.
The first link is Primal Hardware, so what is that?
That's the one.
Oh, is that the one? Oh, yeah, silicone ovipositor. Yeah, great.
Wait, I will say that I just typed in the European spelling of splorch with a splorch with a U, obviously. And there's a link on Tumblr. There's a Tumblr hashtag. So,
but also, I mean, Marshall, in case you're looking for last minute Christmas gifts for those loved ones in your life, they come in a variety of colors and alien tentacle designs.
Whoa! What is this thing? What is that? Why does it have two? I don't know what's happening. What am I looking at? What am I looking at?
Okay. First, you need to know, you need to see what the ovipositor looks like.
Okay. Now,
then
is
you need to know.
Is an ovipositor different from a splorch?
The ovipositor is like facial tissue. Splorch is the Kleenex. Splorch,
it's a Kleenex. An ovipositor designed for all of the xenomorph fans out there who like the idea of alien eggs and impregnation. Made of soft platinum silicone, the Splorch is stretchy enough to handle chicken egg-sized gelatin eggs. As with other ovipositors, the Splorch does not come with eggs. An egg mold can be purchased for making your own.
Make it yourself. Yeah. I have yet to come across
a word that explains to me what's happening.
Yeah, so okay, you see.
I still don't know.
Oh, boy. So sometimes when mommy and daddy really love each other.
And by mommy, we mean a human. And by daddy, we mean an alien.
An alien.
With a platinum silicone penis.
Uh-huh. The mommy or the daddy wants to know what it would feel like to have alien eggs inside their butt and or vagina. And but it's hard to just stuff a gelatin egg inside your butt and or vagina.
Who has the time?
It's messy, and sometimes that's right when the mail is being delivered and you've got to waddle to the door. So the ovipositor makes that way easier. So what happens is you make an alien egg out of your own gelatin, and then you put it in the ovipositor, which looks like an alien tentacle.
Looking
and
at
is
it right
nice
now,
and
it's
soft
extra
and
veiny.
Silicone-y.
I don't understand. Mm-hmm.
They come in so many colors.
I see
and then
that.
You insert the egg into your vagina and or butt, and you leave it there for as long as you like, and then you can squat it out if you want to feel what it feels like to birth an alien egg, or you can let your body heat warm up the gelatin until it dribbles out.
Whoa.
It will melt eventually. Dealer's choice.
Dealer's choice. Oh, I like that. You have freedom. You got some choices and some options. I like this nice blue. There's a couple that are glowing in the dark here.
Oh.
What?
Hey, go ahead and up there near the top, you can click on ovipositors because there are a variety of models as well.
Okay,
not just the Splorch,
but
the Bork, the Blip, the Galorp, the Krubera, the Squick, the Brogoth, the
Yo, that
bed
Brogoth,
bug.
Hold on, let me holler at this Brogoth real quick.
Oh,
Brogoth.
Going down with this Brogoth.
Get into
I'm
it.
I'm not putting something called a bed bug inside me.
Why not?
I mean, look, this is not every ovipositors for everybody.
The Squick is rather interesting. By the way, Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy holidays.
Here's the thing. We are in no way sponsored by the ovipositor. For all the kids who are watching right now who can't tell the difference between an ad and just a regular unboxing video.
Yeah, this is just straight. This is straight unboxing. This is no ads here. Nobody paid
somehow we're doing this for free.
I mean, somehow, as in, how could we not?
I mean, being said, we've given them enough free advertising on this show that if they want to reach out and pay us, I would 100% take that alien blood money.
This is hilarious.
I'm reminded of my favorite Christmas song. I want an ovipositor for Christmas.
Yes.
Only an ovipositor will do.
That cute
want to plant the eggs. Get in between my legs.
So I don't know if anyone else has noticed this aspect of ovipositors on this site, but you can build your own ovipositor.
That sounds dangerous.
Oh, shit. I think there's a section in Disneyland that lets you do that now.
Build a Squick. Honestly, though, I prefer the artisanal, Amish made ovipositors myself.
If you go to the special section in the museum, they'll show you all of the ancient stone and wooden ovipositors that they've made over the centuries.
I mean, here's the thing: when you buy an expensive one, it's an investment, and you're making that investment for life, and that's something you can pass down from generation to generation.
Don't buy the $30 boots. Buy the $100 boots.
Exactly.
The fun thing now, of course, is going to try and remember what we were talking about in the first place.
It doesn't matter.
Chan was talking about secret eggs and kids' YouTube videos, and naturally that led into this.
Surprise eggs. Okay, parallel to that, I just was at Target. And surprise eggs are in my head because they're out there now, obviously, in the holiday section. There's a variety of them. It's not just Ryan. There's all sorts of surprise eggs. They're all roughly HRGR-sized eggs now.
Are you talking about Kinder eggs?
No, Kinder eggs are like half candy, half Cracker Jack toy. I am talking about surprise eggs that are filled with a couple dozen toys of some kind. I don't even know. I've never bought one of these things, but they tend to be like I'm talking about like foot and a half high. And they look like you walk into an aisle and it looks like you're in a goddamn alien movie. It looks like
that's cool. Oh, you're gonna turn around. Like in Gremlins.
Yes, like in Gremlins. Just like multicolored, and it's kind of terrifying. And I feel like the youth are coming for us. Like they know what terrifies us, and they're gonna hurt us bad.
I want to play a prank on someone of just filling their attic with those eggs. Are they realistic looking?
They're not.
Oh.
No. It's just a big plastic egg with some toys in it.
Not fancy. I want someone to think their attic is full of alien eggs.
What?
just buy a bunch of squicks and splorches and just go to work.
Honestly, you could save yourself a lot of money if you just did that. If you're just trying to hurt somebody, then these splorches are definitely going to do it for much cheaper.
Am I to believe that this isn't even a sexual thing? This is just a straight up, like, I just want to feel what this feels like thing?
I think it can be both. I think there was a whole Vice article a few years ago about it, and it said that, like, it can be sexual, or it can just be, like, people who, like, have a fascination with, like, it just alien eggs being in their body. But I feel like everything's a little bit sexual if it's involving orifices, right?
I mean, the nature of the variety of these phallic symbols that they're using, I'm like, well, it's got to be sexual.
Yeah, I want to know how strictly. Many they sell in a year, and how many of those are gag gifts versus, like, legitimate gifts.
I don't even know how this could be a gag gift, because how would you find this? How would you even know?
You listen, me knowing is half the podcast for five seasons.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Way to tie it up.
No, listen, I want to get to our actual theme and not talk about all the Christmas. Positives.
No,
for fucking
no,
half
hell
hour.
No. This show has changed.
Welcome back to the knowing is half the ovipositor.
Yes.
No, I want to talk about these movies, because there are some movies, and I think the topic at hand is wonderful. And Chan, why don't you start us off? What holiday movies could you not get your kid on board for, or maybe anyone else at all?
You edited it because of me.
We did, yes. Gina, that's 100% correct. This original incarnation did not involve you, but then we wanted to involve you.
This crossover episode requires some stretching of the imagination, some suspension of disbelief. You know how it goes. Like, Urkel is not going to show up at the full house, like, under normal circumstances. He's got to be, like, flown there by an alien or some shit, right?
Wait, exactly. Why can't he? Are you saying that those kids don't hang out with black kids? Is that what you're saying, Chan?
That's exactly.
I'm not saying it. Yeah.
I'm saying that six seasons of the show says that.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. I think that they would hang out with Urkel.
Would you hang out with Urkel?
Oh, God, no.
That's kind of my point.
He has boundary issues and never knows when to go home. But like the other kids in that family I'd hang out with.
Interesting. What about fair Stefan enough. Urkel? Well, would he
no,
move the needle
at
all?
He's the shit.
Well, it's not that he thinks it; he knows it.
Yeah,
he knows
and,
it. He's
true. I don't.
It. He
I don't,
knows he's the shit.
That's true.
I mean, I feel like he could do a number on you, and you'd want him to stay around.
Oh, okay. All right. You're thinking I'm
like
letting
Urkel
impregnate me with alien eggs. Okay.
Oh yes, 100%.
You know what?
I think all of us, to some extent, want that. It's just like a universal thing.
Just waiting for that episode to show up.
I mean,
but
look.
I feel like Full House, like Kimmy Gibbler was the Urkel of that universe. Like,
yes.
Every one of these shows, there was Boner on Family Ties.
Except she wasn't useful like Urkel was.
Yeah, like she's also not smart. She's just annoying. Right? I mean, I want to watch a show with just the Urkels. I want to watch a show where it's like Urkel in a house with like Kimmy Gibbler and like Boner is there. And then
so like a whole rest in peace, Boner. So like there's a whole there's R.I.P. a whole house full of the annoying neighbors.
Yeah. Oh, wait. And then I guess
one. And then there's one neighbor that's not.
Yeah, yeah. He keeps stopping by, and they're like, "Geez, this normal guy just won't stopping by." But I feel like maybe that was the premise of The Surreal Life on VH1 because that was the caliber of celebrities that
they
could get.
Yeah, but see, they didn't give them the opposite to play against. It was just like, let's just throw all these crazy people into a house and let's see what happens. Like, or,
that's true.
Or not even this, that, not let's throw these crazy people. I don't want to be pejorative, but let's put a bunch of self-absorbed former A-list and now maybe former B and sometimes former C-list celebrities who we know will do anything for another chance at this spotlight. Like, I think that's...
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Can we call it Oops All Urkels?
Ah, yes!
All right. I want you
Can we call it Did We Do That?
Gina, hire somebody to make a pitch deck. We're gonna take this to Ryan immediately.
God.
Sorry, I got Ryan on speed dial. Hold on, let me give him a call.
We're gonna take this to Ryan. Like, that's Ryan. A legitimate statement in the year 2021.
We got something here. Yo, we got something here. It's called Oops All Urkels. No, Urkel, like Steve Urkel. It's a show called Family Matters back in the late 80s, early 90s. He does. He makes the purple Urkel weed now. Yes, yes, yes. That's the same one. Uh huh. Right. Yeah, that. I got an idea.
As the ghost of Christmas future, can I just say that you can all 100% guaranteed look forward to Ryan's eventual rap album?
The only
question is whether he will self-distribute or EMI will pick it up. And
No. He's learned. He knows. He's in these SoundCloud streets now. Like, I'm not. He's not signing with no record labels.
It's gonna be like the Jeremy Strong on Succession rap. It's gonna be that level of uncomfortable. Oh, I see. I'm the only person here who watches adult shows.
No, yeah.
Look, I'm not here with Max.
You lost me.
I'm not.
It's only the most popular show in America right now, guys.
This is true.
No, I mean, here's the deal. The problem is because the way that certain factions in this country talk, secession is actually very real. And so I just don't think it's something we should be making light of in our TV shows.
Says the guy who's never seen it.
Correct.
I can't wait to get into another argument about TV writing with you, Ray.
Oh, boy. Oh, maybe it'll happen on this episode.
Are we going to pause so I can watch an episode, the pilot of Succession, so that way I can talk to Gina unintelligently about the script?
Look, I feel like whether you watch it or whether you don't watch it, the result is going to be the same with you explaining to me how TV writing works more and more furious while Chan actually knows what's going on and is just not saying anything because he knows that there's landmines everywhere.
Well, that is a guarantee.
Why are two of my three parents fighting right now? I don't understand.
To be fair, it usually just amounts to Gina says, these are aspects of the script I didn't like. And me saying, oh, really? I enjoyed them. And then Gina getting very mad at me.
That is generally. It involves me saying, here's why, because this is not how TV writing works. And then Ray going, no, that's not true. Here's how TV writing works. Oh, no. God,
I would never be so bold, TV's Gina Ippolito. Oh, my goodness gracious.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Season's greetings in our souls.
Yummy fruity pebbles in our bowls. Oh, oh, here comes you know who.
Yabba dabba fruitylicious stew.
Oh, 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 I'm hungry. Santa, my pebbles!
Your pebbles?
Tis the season to be sharing, Fred.
Happy holidays, pal.
Oh, Fred.
Fruity and Cocoa Pebbles cereals, part of this nutritious breakfast.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Anyway,
no Christmas, y'all.
That I was talking about.
Yes, please, Chan, get us on message. It's been like, it's been way too long. This is like, this is just an entire show comprised of the stuff we talk about before the show starts. That's all this has been.
I feel like this is a perfect encapsulation of the crossover of Knowing is Half the Podcast and My Three Dads.
Oh my gracious. Yeah.
This is great. I love this.
Welcome to the last episode.
Gina, can we do this more often?
Oh yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, guaranteed. Guaranteed. A very Marshall Christmas. That's all we're doing right now.
Which is great because I'm the person that's not going to get on board with anybody's Christmas movie. So,
oh, speaking shit, to me. Really?
No, wait a minute. What's up with that?
That I'm like this is a fun topic because I'm that person. I'm like, I don't care about your Christmas movie. I've still never seen It's a Wonderful Life. So,
I mean,
that's fine.
I just don't understand, Mary.
Are
why?
You even grumpier than Chan?
No, that's the funny part. Not grumpy, just don't really care about it.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't know what happened when I was a kid. Like, I realized there was no... I don't have a memory of believing in Santa Claus. And I do have a memory of realizing specifically that Santa could not exist. Watching the Santa Tracker on the late evening news one Christmas Eve when I was like 5 years old. Like, this don't track, yo, because he moving slow for all the kids that he got to get to. Nah, I don't buy it. And like, it was the beginning of the end for me. So like, I'm the person that's like, my favorite Christmas movie, A Christmas Story. Like that, like that's where I'm at.
There's nothing wrong with it. Everybody loves A Christmas Story, right? Like, I don't think it has the same joy. You know, some of the luster's worn off, I think, as the years have gone on. But like, we still generally have favorable impressions of this holiday classic, don't we?
Sure, except for, you know, some of the tropes at the end. But
there are some upsetting. Look, anything from
bit,
that era
bit.
Is going to have something, right?
True,
I think
true.
That's fair.
It's true.
And now little Ralphie's in the MCU. So look, I'm as happy as could be over that.
Wait, how's Ralphie in the MCU?
Okay, what? No,
please help me.
The actor who plays Ralphie in A Christmas Story
is
Peter Billingsley. Is that his name?
Yeah, Peter Billingsley.
Is he one of the Ravagers?
He was in Iron Man as a scientist, and he was one of Mysterio's chief scientist guys in the newest Spider-Man movie, the Mysterio one. He's the guy with the mustache and glasses and the bald head. That's Ralphie from A Christmas Story, Peter Billingsley, dominating because he also played the same scientist in like Iron Man, like one. And it was a complete throwaway two line role that they brought back a decade later. Plus, so he could have this awesome, like character progression with the Gyllenhaal. So everything is cool.
Interesting.
He's also in Elf. He's one of the elves in Elf. He crops up from time to time.
He was an executive producer on Iron Man. Like, he was there at the beginning.
Because he was one of the smart ones who was like, all right, I was this child actor in this beloved movie that they show 8 million times every Christmas. I'm going to not act anymore.
Yeah, I do remember reading about him being like, oh, he went into law
like
or something.
Producing.
Like,
producing.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, let me go ahead. I saw where the real power and money was.
He was right. I mean, look, here's the deal. Being Ralphie gets you into some rooms.
I mean, he's still here's the thing. He's like an Easter egg in like different Christmas movies because because people are like, oh my God, is that like he's, I think he might even be uncredited in Elf because he was like just purposely in there because it was like, hey, look, like Ralphie's in another Christmas movie. And then he was in like enough like Four Christmases or something like that. They put him in Christmas movies, and that's probably got like he like, A Christmas Story is one of those movies that they still show on, like, network TV. Like,
this whole day marathon.
That dude is getting hella residuals. In an age when, like, no one gets residuals anymore, that dude is guaranteed residuals every like, 6 months after.
And I would tell, if I'm making a Christmas movie, I'm totally calling Peter Billingsley. And
yeah, like, hell
how much does it cost to me to get him in for, like, a scene? Let me just get a scene cameo.
Totally.
Yeah.
Also, totally you have to give him a producer's credit. That's the problem.
Fine. It's all good. I don't care, man. I'm not selfish with the credits.
He knows
man.
Where he's
Let's
getting
go.
His money.
Let's get this made.
How much does it cost? He says, I'll act for free.
Yeah.
However,
that's not
my
where I'm
going to
get you.
My producer fee.
Oh. Yeah. That's right. So Marshall, so you don't enjoy Christmas movies? I'm here. You just don't get into seasonal fare at all?
It's like I have a... Like, I can understand why why there's, like, all the joy, like, everyone enjoys it. I think somewhere in my childhood, like, the over commercialization of it, I think, did something to me. So that, like, by the time it was in college, I was like, yeah, all right. It just means I got to buy stuff for people. Like, this is ridiculous. like, that's what it turned into, I think, for me. And so... I'm all about the Christmas spirit. I love that. Except
love it.
I get upset because I'm like, yeah, how come you can't do this on the 26th or the 27th of December? So like, that's where my head goes with Christmas time is like, yay, this is great. Everyone loves everyone, but nobody loves anyone like outside of these like 2 weeks out of the year.
Yeah, because people are terrible and you can only maintain your like for them 1 day a year. Like if it's like if you said to me like, hey, Gina, like tense your muscle for 2 minutes, I'd be like, 2 minutes? All right, sweet. Like you're doing some sort of physical test on me. I can do it for 2 minutes. But if you're like, hey, Gina, tense your muscle indefinitely, I'm going to be like, fuck you. give me an out here. If I have to be nice for 1 day, I can do that. After 1 day, I'm going to be like, but I don't like most of you, so what am I doing here?
I love that you've equated being nice to flying in Invincible and like tensing a muscle and don't do it too long or you get tired. I love that. But I also understand because sometimes people are stupid. But see, that's the only child in me too. See, there's a lot of factors. I'm an only child. Like I don't deal with a lot of people because they don't see what I see and they don't think what I think. And it's like, oh God, I could either explain this to you or just shut up. I'm going to shut up. I'm just going to be quiet.
You're the anti-me because I love all seasonal things. I love all holiday things as the guys will attest. I want to watch 30 days of Christmas movies. And 30 days of Halloween movies and 30 days of Thanksgiving movies. I like them all. This challenge, actually, when Ray sprung it on me today because he didn't realize he hadn't told me about it yet.
All right, listen.
Is actually kind of hard. Because I was thinking, you know, like, because I like all the classics. Like, everyone, it's not hard to convince people to watch A Christmas Story. It's not hard to convince them to watch Scrooged. So I had a hard time with this because there aren't too many that I love that aren't like classics.
Well, like, okay. So It's a Wonderful Life. Do you like that one?
Oh, I love it. I watch it every year.
See, oh, there you go. See, if you were to be like, hey, Marshall, let's watch It's a Wonderful Life. I'd be like, Gina, go to hell.
But also because we used to watch all these as a family around Christmas time.
Right.
So we would watch all of them when we had our Christmas rituals. And then like Christmas Eve, we would watch A Christmas Story and my brother and I would know all the lines and you know, we would quote them at each other and things like that. And so we would as a family all watch all of these holiday movies.
That makes sense for me. It was the Ten Commandments at Easter time.
Oh God!
Like that was the holiday tradition movie that we would say, "All right, let's go. We've got 4 hours to watch."
And you haven't turned it around in the more recent years to changing it to Hop starring Russell Brand. I'm a little surprised that you haven't just taken one and taken it for the other.
Oh God, no, please. I can't.
are none of you normal and just watched Star Trek Next Generation with your mom like the rest of us?
No, because my mom hated that stuff. I was watching that in my room by myself, yo. Deanna Troy, that's my girl.
I will say that the Ippolito New Year's Eve like show that we watched was we would watch a marathon of Twilight Zone, which I feel like is the same. Is
pretty good.
Similar.
Oh wow!
But again, all as a family, mom, dad, my brother, and I would all watch it.
The only thing I would say to that is that I hope you call it the Ippolito Eve, like New Year's.
One of my relatives is on their way to your house to kill you and your family right now. I've got a lot of cousins, so I'm not. It could be anyone showing up.
Any of them.
See, well, as a family tradition, in the Stakanis house growing up, every Christmas we watch the Mystery Science Theater 3000, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
That's fun.
We watch that year after year after year, and that is not something I have done in a very, very long time. Not even a couple of years ago when we visited around the holidays, when I visited back home in Michigan. It turned out that the new family tradition that I tried to get off the ground and it lasted 1 year is to watch the John Woo classic Face Off as a Christmas tradition. And I really thought it was going to catch on. I might try to watch it this year to try to rekindle that spirit. The problem is I will be watching it by myself.
Oh, that's so sad.
That is. Yeah. Try Hard Boiled. I think that would probably catch on a little easier.
Mean, that's a wonderful movie. I am on board for some Hard Boiled. Give a man a gun, he's Superman. Give him two, he becomes a god. I am here for that movie. Give me some Chow Yun Fat every day.
I don't care for your translation. It's he thinks he's a god, not he is a god.
No, he is. Have you seen that movie, Chan?
Charles Bronson shit going on.
Whatever happened to Chow Yun Fat? Is he still doing things?
He makes movies.
He's giving away all his money because he's amazing.
That's not what I asked. Does he still act? I don't care what he's doing with his charitable giving.
Yeah. I don't want to hear that he's a good person, Chan. I want to know if I'm making more money than him.
Does he want to be in a show I'm pitching? That's what I'm saying.
Now listen, does it star Ryan? Because then the answer is yes.
I could sell a show of Ryan paired up with Chow Yun Fat.
Ryan's playing a young Chow Yun Fat?
No, they're cops. It's a buddy cop movie. One is 8-year-old Ryan and the other is Chow Yun Fat.
It's like Sidekicks with Chuck Norris, but
I love it.
I'll tell you what it is. Ryan is doing an unboxing video when all of a sudden masked men break into his house, kill his family. Like in the back.
Go on.
He hides, but the murder is caught on camera. And then Chow Yun Fat is one of the special detectives. You're not sure until later on what exactly that means. That shows up and figures out from the footage that Ryan hid, and he finds Ryan, but he knows that Ryan was maybe the real target or saw all of this. So he's in some trouble. And then it's just 2 hours of Chow Yun Fat protecting Ryan, who keeps getting distracted by toys that he wants to unbox.
See, that's the thing is, Gina, I think we can even work this in where they're on they're trying to solve the murder and find who these people are, but all the clues are hidden in exotic locations in giant plastic eggs that Ryan has to unbox. This shit writes itself.
Yes, something I can use my skills for.
No. We gotta. You're not even talking about the twist where it turns out that Chow Yun Fat actually works for the organized crime syndicate.
Oh boy,
He's paid off.
Or you could go the other way, and it's actually Ryan was the one who orchestrated the hit on his family because he had so much money and he wanted it all for himself. Chow Yun Fat in the last like 10 minutes of the movie realizes this, and Ryan goes, "You just couldn't keep your nose out of things, could you? You all think I'm just a happy little kid unboxing toys. Well, I unboxed my parents. I unboxed them good."
He didn't just unbox them. He put them in a box.
Yeah, he put them in a box.
Put them in a box.
That's the way.
A 10-year-old. That's what we're here for, Gina. Is what we're talking about now.
We're here for punch ups.
Punch ups? Yeah.
Punch ups gets us.
I'll take it.
This movie.
But
this movie
I won't give
amazing.
Any of you credit once I sell this.
You know, I just want to get paid.
Don't worry, Ryan's going to get credit as a writer on this. He was nowhere near it. He wasn't even there. He's getting all the credit.
And somehow Peter Billingsley is still a producer. Like, every part of this makes sense. Now, Chan, I want to hear what movies you don't get to watch that you want to, because I'm wondering which weird hentai have a Christmas theme that you're going to tell us about.
Oh, no.
I mean, at this point, I really just want to see if I can go the entire episode without ever making actually the actual concept that we were talking about.
I think we're in it, aren't we? We're knee deep. Me and Marshall are both gone.
I mean, sort of.
In a way. Look, we've only got like 15 minutes of this episode left. We might as well try to broach the theme. Or not.
I remember Ray's. I feel like Marshall never got to say it.
Wait a minute, what was Ray's?
Ray's was the not Mystery Science Theater 3000 Christmas. It was Face Off.
Correct. The thing that, like, you cannot get anybody on board with.
Hold on. I thought that was a joke. Are you serious that that was your pick for this thing?
Oh, no, that's a real thing we did. Now, I would say, like, if you're asking the question legitimately, and I'll be the only one who goes, apparently, but we can't get our four-year-old to watch Muppet Christmas Carol, which is our favorite
of
all time, and she just won't really get on board for it.
She's the worst. It's so good.
No, like, we figure with a little bit more time, she will get it, because we're going to keep trying every single year.
Just until... you know what? Just have you seen A Clockwork Orange?
Oh, I mean, what?
Just strap her in, her eyes open, make her watch it.
Okay.
The parenting effects. Gina talking to me about parenting is like me talking to Gina about writing. This is where it all crosses together.
Oh, touche.
I'm going to come in hot here and ruffle a lot of feathers by saying, because I'm a few years older, I stopped watching Muppets after Jim Henson died.
In the past few years,
I have come back, but the first time I heard, I think it's Steve Whitmire do Kermit, I was like, I'm out. I can't hang.
You're the worst. I'm in a Muppet group on Facebook.
There's
which
a shocker.
It's just people posting cool Muppet memes and like, you know, like things that they found in their attic from like 1978 that they're like, holy shit, I found an old Muppet.
Wait, do old Muppets just live in people's attics? How does this work exactly?
100%.
Yeah. Don't you like that makes sense? Out of all the Muppet stuff you've seen, it makes sense that you would find Muppets in attics.
This is a Muppet subgroup full of serial killers.
But I will say that like a good solid 15% of it is just like fucking white people complaining about Kermit's voice, to the point where every time it happens, one of the admins eventually has to like turn off comments and make a post saying, stop talking about how you're not on board because you don't like Kermit's voice. People die. They're like, this is so you're one of those awful white people in my Muppet groups.
Oh, wow.
Here's the thing. I keep it to myself, except in situations like this, obviously, where I have to bare my soul for the purposes of art or whatever.
You thought you were amongst friends and you were wrong. You were dead wrong.
Oh, man. Look.
I will say that I have gone back and watched things now that the pain has sort of worn off. Because, I mean, that was really one of the Muppet Show is like one of the seminal works of my childhood and
absolutely
one of the things that turned me into the person that I am.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it did really hurt when it all, you know, changed. Kind of in the
when
way
Jim Henson
died.
Look, we were all gutted. I mean, like, I still remember exactly where I was when I found out. It's like a JFK assassination story for a different generation. Like, it really affected me and still continues to affect me that much. Chan, I hear you 100% on this.
Thank you. I wish that you weren't the one on my side, because that invalidates a lot of my argument.
It means a lot less. It means a lot less, unfortunately. Wait, who agrees with me? Matt Gaetz. Fuck. Fuck. Yeah. I might be wrong.
You know what? In terms of Kermit's not even really in Muppet Christmas Carol that much. Like,
I get that.
He's I mean, to me, it's just God. Like, Michael Caine is so brilliant. And every interview he's ever given about that movie is unintentionally hilarious. because he's literally always like, well, I never played it like they were puppets there. I played it like I was doing Hamlet and there were like actors there. And like when you watch it, he really is. Like he's not doing a tongue in cheek. I'm sitting across from a rat. He's doing it like he's like really affected. And it is the greatest.
It's really the only way that it works.
Yeah.
If he goes that hard on it. Yeah. You can't do that tongue in cheek.
I'm still mad that he didn't win an Academy Award for it. I'm not going to lie. I say that unironically. He deserved it.
I think he is actually like the best Scrooge I've ever seen. I'm going to be honest.
That's bold.
I mean, I've seen a lot of portrayals, but you can't,
count McDuck in this equation?
You got to go back and watch McDuck.
Yeah, we need to get some McDuck up in here. Although maybe that's how we get her to watch A Christmas Carol. She's really into DuckTales right now. The new one, not the original.
Oh,
a little weird.
Oh,
a little weird.
Kid is terrible in every
David
way.
Tennant. Gina, David Tennant as Scrooge. Come on now.
I know, but I can't talk. Wow. I mean, talk about wrong voices.
Oh, no. I love thinking about the new DuckTales only because I immediately, my brain goes to a Larry King interviewing Danny Pudi, asking him serious questions.
Yes.
And he's like, Larry, I'm on DuckTales.
Larry.
What are you doing?
I'm on DuckTales.
I also really like the cast singing, the video of the cast singing the theme song because it's so much, you can tell that some of them are like taking it seriously and others are like, not ponytails or cotton tails. And they're like, am I singing? Yeah.
What are these lyrics?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to be fair, this is a perfect gateway, though. If she's into that, maybe I could slide her into Christmas Carol with Scrooge McDuck, slide her into Muppet Christmas Carol. I think we could make this little slippery slope argument.
Yeah.
A Mickey Christmas Carol is great. I literally just watched back-to-back 2 days ago Mickey Christmas Carol and Muppet Christmas Carol. And Mickey was another one of those things that every year we would like watch as a family. We had a lot of things leading up to the holidays that we would watch as a family.
I'm going to talk trash about my kid for a hot second here.
Yes, please do.
But because he does have terrible taste in things, but he did, when I tried to put on the new Mickey Christmas special on Disney Plus, I don't remember if it was 2017 or 18, 19, something like that. But it's a half hour cartoon about Christmas and whatnot. He's like, no, I don't want to watch that. I want to watch the Mickey Halloween special. And he had watched it a few times when it was seasonal, this past year. And I turned it on and I did something else. I was making him dinner or whatever. I don't know.
Wow.
Cleaning his feet or whatever it is that I do during the day.
What?
Obviously wiping butts. We talked about this earlier.
We don't let him sit down on the couch with a dirty butt.
Ugh, oh, that's weird.
This is my worst nightmare. What's happening?
Well, not at
right
your
now.
House. You did it. You did it. Gina's house, though. That one time I was there.
Oh, yeah,
everything about this
is
I've slipped into hell.
Like Gina needs to understand the parenting experience. So when we come over, we definitely.
God, I am.
She probably still hasn't found that sandwich, has she?
Oh, I'm just gonna go kill myself.
Just don't look under your guest room bed.
Ugh, this is why I'm moving.
But he did. So I put on the Halloween special because I don't need him crying at, 7:30 in the morning. Here's your damn Halloween special. Sat down and watched it.
Don't you, Chan? You've changed.
And it was actually really good.
Okay.
Not all of the new stuff is good, but this one was really good. And then after that, he was like, okay, I'll watch the Christmas special now. We watched that, and that was really good. So I'm happy that there's Disney has actually got some decent original animation coming out these days.
They do.
Because I was never
go ahead.
I was never a Disney guy. The shorts. Like I'm gonna watch Looney Tunes because those are funny, and most of the Mickey's all the Disney stuff was not.
Yeah.
And
also Nickelodeon was what you watched if you had like some soul in you, and Disney was what like the little like Stepford kids in the neighborhood watched.
That makes sense, yeah.
Fair.
Because I didn't have Disney Channel, but I was all about that weird-ass like Nickelodeon content. And then some years later, like I have been watching older Disney stuff, and you can see those like whitewashed exec notes that it's like, oh, everything has to be safe. Whereas like on Nickelodeon, they're like, yeah, if we fuck up kids, who cares? Like, this is, we're going to, it's weird.
You can't do that on television was great because the dad was pretty much an alcoholic. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. all of that weird ass, like, Canadian Nickelodeon content, like, they were like, yeah, who cares? Like, if kids get messed up watching this. Whereas Disney is, like, giving you a billion notes a minute and being like, well, you can't, I mean, this kid gives another kid a sour look, and we don't want kids to think it's okay to give other kids sour looks. And meanwhile on Nickelodeon, they're like, yeah, like what if like on fucking Goosebumps a puppet fucked a human? I don't know, is that scary? Yeah, let's do it.
Also, yeah. I don't want to turn this into like a Marxist diatribe or anything,
yeah,
but Nickelodeon was basic cable and Disney was premium.
Yeah, that's why I said it.
I was about to say, Gina, you know, I'm surprised Gina didn't have it, honestly. Like, they didn't have that on your private helicopter when you flew to school?
No. She's not going to tell us that. She knows how to play the game. Like, oh, yeah.
I she's learned.
Always listen what the commoners watched. I mean, normal people.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, like, she will watch the Grinch now. We got her into that. But
the original Grinch? Like, the original.
Yeah, Boris Karloff. Good. And, like, 2 days in a row, she has to watch it. So we're good. But that brought us to, like, the Peacock app. And the Peacock app, it turns out, has some very suspect Christmas programming. She got very excited when she saw 1990s Sonic the Hedgehog Christmas special animated with Urkel, Jaleel White as the voice of Sonic to tie it all in together.
Wow.
And we did sit down and watch the entire thing. And it was, as you would expect, virtually unwatchable. But she loved it. You know why? Because he goes fast.
Sorry, I'm just getting a text from Ryan. He's like, what? Jaleel White with Sonic? I'm in.
let's tie this package together.
Oops All Urkels coming soon.
Oops All Urkels coming in.
Let's go ahead and tie this together with the fact that my pick is indeed the 1966 Boris Karloff, Chuck Jones directed The Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
Really?
I love it.
Love it.
My kid will not watch it. No interest whatsoever.
Oh, that's terrible.
He's only very mildly interested in Looney Tunes in general. And, you know, I don't know what to say. I feel like, of course, I'm an old man. I'm going to say this is a classic. You got to watch this. How are you going to say it's bad? But, you know, like you'll look at the animation today and, you know, a kid's going to be like, where are the computers? You're drawing it by hand?
Goddamn
Neanderthal?
I'm really sorry that the two of you got such duds as kids.
Oh, wait a minute.
My kid loves
God.
The Grinch. This is like the one thing we're getting together. Gina, we're being redeemed. This is a redemption story.
One of your kids won't watch A Muppet Christmas Carol. The other one won't watch The Grinch. All I know is there were like 10 channels on when I was a kid, and then the rest was on like VHS. So if my parents wanted to watch something, like that's what we were watching.
Fair.
It's the reason
Which is
why
how you
I
watch
the
Lady Chatterley's
show,
Lover 600 times in a row.
So wait, so Gina, what do you have any problems getting people on board for weird, obscure?
I mean, here's the thing. Now that you explain that it was like getting your kids on board, it makes more sense because I was like, who's having trouble getting people on board with like holiday things? This is so weird. So I came ready with two options because I thought it was a weird prompt. The first one is the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Okay.
Which
okay,
like
fair.
is I agree is terrible, but is also just so weirdly hilarious that I would love it if more people would like go to parties and be like, fuck it, throw that Star Wars Holiday Special on. Instead
of watch
being
it all
like,
the way through.
Yeah, that's the problem. It runs out of steam pretty quick.
I think you just put it on in the background. Because if you watch it, I remember like I watched it all the way through as an adult. And I watched it like a comedy person who we all know their house because they were doing a podcast that was like they'll watch anything and then talk about it. And I remember like watching it just straight with like three different comedians, and then like leaving and thinking like I had just like slipped into a parallel dimension. It was so weird. And like when I got outside, it was that weird thing where like when you go someplace and it's light out and you come out and it's so long that it's like dark, you're just like, what, where am I? What did I just do for 3 hours? I wish I was home. I feel weird. But I think you just throw it on in the background so that everyone who's seen it can be like, yep, here's where like B. Arthur is doing this thing. Here's where the Wookiee grandpa is jerking off to a 70s singer doing a sexy song.
Yeah.
And like people who haven't seen it are just like, what is on in the background here? So I think you throw it on. So that was my like pick when I wasn't sure what the prompt meant. But like my backup is actually a song, which I think should be a more classic Christmas song.
Oh, no.
And if you say anything about it, I'm going to call you a racist. It's called Dominic the Donkey, and it's by Lou Monti, and it's about the Italian Christmas donkey. And every year I post about it, and only other Italian Americans know about it for some reason. They're not playing it on 103.5 on the coast. But they should, and I try to tell everyone how great it is, and it's just, it's a song about an Italian Christmas donkey because the reindeer cannot deliver presents because of the hills of Italy, so Dominic the Donkey has to go in and do it, and it's very fun, and it should be on everyone's Christmas playlist, and only other Italians agree with me, and everyone else thinks it's weird.
Does that mean that this song negates Santa's and the reindeer's ability to fly? Is that what I'm hearing?
Thank you.
No, it's like they can't. It's hard to climb and fly in the hills of Sicily.
Mm-hmm.
And Dominic because the donkey needs to traverse it for them.
Because the reindeer don't do VTOL. They need some sort of running start to get going. Because they don't deliver to, I don't know, apartment houses in the city.
These are the thoughts that 5-year-old me was having. Like, this is some bullshit. This whole thing is bullshit.
I mean, honestly, I think Chan should play a little bit of the song so that everyone can realize what a Christmas classic it is.
I don't think that's really. I think people can imagine it. This is ruin it with real life.
We can do that.
I think it should be on everyone's iPod Shuffle or whatever the kids are listening to music on these days. It's definitely in my Amazon Alexa Christmas playlist.
Yeah. Well, I mean, besides the fact that Gina loves Pagliacci as
Pagliacci, you are the whitest man alive.
It's the only Italian thing I could think of.
Hey, I'm gonna eat some spaghetti with the Pagliacci, Martha.
Don't we call it spaghetti, Gina? Come on. What are we doing here?
You leave Ray and his Midwest sensibilities alone. Okay. God damn it.
That's fair. Now, Marshall, we've all had a turn to talk about our thing. You hate everything Christmas.
This is why I don't talk about it.
Because I get you, man.
Because it always comes off as, dude, you suck. You hate Christmas. And it's like, no, I don't hate Christmas. It's just I'm not feeling it the same way everyone else does. But in terms of a Christmas like thing that I can't say that I'm like, oh, I really wish people would, you know, get on board with me on this Christmas tradition. So I will say that the Christmas tradition that my wife and her family try to get me on board with
is
watching Prep and Landing.
I don't know what that is.
I don't even know what that is either.
Look it up. It's a Disney. I believe it's Disney. And there's Prep and Landing and Prep and Landing 2 now. It's been out.
They didn't even land after all that prep the first time.
It's basically about the elves that have to set up the houses.
Oh wow!
Before Santa shows up. So basically, it's like a paramilitary kind of situation where they send in these elves ahead of time.
I think I might be into this.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I'm fine with one man entering my house. But if you're sending scouts to like case the joint before he gets there, now I'm rescinding my consent.
Like what's funny about this is that like since I'm not like all Christmassy, I'm like whatever. But at the same time, I kind of enjoy that. Like I get the movie. Like, it's because they are, because basically these, it's following one elf, main elf, who's thinking he's about to get a promotion, and then he doesn't get the promotion, and so then he becomes disgruntled and almost ruins Christmas for a kid.
Oh, because he becomes a shooter, active shooter.
Oh man.
You mean he's become an incelf?
Wow.
No. Wow.
Okay, I knew I could get it back. No. I knew I could get it back.
There it is. No. There it is. There it is. But yeah, so like there's a Prep and Landing and Prep and Landing 2, and I forget the premise of 2, but like I know like my wife's family has gotten into watching that movie every Christmas. And so I'm pretty sure the kids will get into it. Like, they're kind of into it, but
I don't think they have a
choice.
There's
nothing that I could be like, hey, we should do this together. And then they're like, what? Like, I don't, I know that my kids, just by virtue of me saying, hey, we should try this, they will automatically say no. So I won't even do it.
It sounds like the Christmas thing that you want to get them into is not being that into Christmas.
Oh, nice. Interesting. Yeah.
Interesting, right?
This holds up. This holds up. Guys, that's our show. We have officially done our crossover episode, My Three Dads. Knowing is half the podcast. This will air on both feeds. The same exact thing, except slightly different.
Wait,
you purists, you have to listen to it twice.
Is there a crossover name? Like, Knowing is Half the Dad Cast or something? I feel like Chan should have come up with something.
My Three Halves really of a should. Podcast. I don't know.
My Three Halves of a Podcast is, I think, as good as we're ever going to get. Marshall, you win the prize. Unfortunately, the prize is a pile of Christmas movies that Gina hand selected that you will not wish to watch.
As long as it's not Hallmark.
It should be called Why Are Two of My Three Parents Fighting? The
Yes. Telling you, I was like, oh God, they're going to get divorced. It's going to hurt.
The thing about that phrase, why are two of my three parents fighting, really asks more questions than it's prepared to answer. If you really start thinking about
it. If you just say that phrase with no context and just leave it.
Just drop it and walk away.
Honestly, it and walk away.
That's a hook. I'd watch 4 seasons.
I just got a targeted ad for something with LL Cool J in it. So thanks, Marshall.
Hey, look, it's not my fault that dude won't die in a movie. Like, I'm against it. I'm totally against it.
Wait, did he survive? Was that Deep Blue Sea? Was that the one? Yeah.
He's in the shark's mouth in Deep Blue Sea. Bullshit. He gets out. He gets shot in the head in Halloween, H2O. Comes
That's
at the
right.
end of the movie. Bullshit. He should have been shot and killed in that movie in Too Deep when he was playing the bad, like the bad guy in that movie. And he didn't even go to jail right in that movie. Like at the end, it was, LL Cool J has some kind of weird clause in his contract when he does movies that was like, look, you're not killing me. And if I'm supposed to go down, like rewrite that shit.
I think all happening. Of these movies are just part of the Unbreakable extended universe, and we've found out that LL Cool J is also Unbreakable.
Are you telling me that every movie has got an M. Night Shyamalan twist and tie-in? I swear to God, I won't watch another movie again.
I remember seeing Deep Blue Sea, and I remember seeing the thing with the shark, and then at the end of the movie, he's like, fine, and I just remember bursting out laughing, being like, bullshit.
Can't have it.
Bullshit, LL Cool J. Get the F out of here. You're dead. You died. This
you
is a Sixth Sense moment.
You don't
moment.
Know what happened in that shark's mouth.
He's a ghost, and nobody will tell him.
He rapped to the shark, and the shark was like, all right, you know, I'm down. I'm out of here.
Oh, my God. Mama said punch a shark.
Oh God. Oh no.
I mean, here's the deal. I'm now back on board again. I wasn't before. I am now. That's wonderful. Marshall Givens, what can you tell the people at home? Is there anything you want to plug? Any social media you'd like to talk about?
You can just find me on the socials at Mr. Happy Givens. Check out anything I'm doing. I'm doing stuff.
You're always doing stuff. I don't need to go to the social media.
Who knows
media
when you're going to listen to this? I won't give you anything. I'm just doing stuff.
It's fair. Now, if you are listening to this and you want to hear more My Three Dads, you can always support that show at My Three Dads Pod. That's our Twitter account for the show. And it definitely needs more listeners. And quite frankly, the My Three Dads Podcast needs more reviews, needs more attention. Please. Quite honestly, it's a wonderful show that we neglect sometimes, but it is wonderful, and we will keep making them as we feel like doing it, or we'll do crossovers.
It's either neglect show. That show or neglect our kids, one of the two.
You got to make choices in this life, Marshall.
Look, if we work hard, we can do both.
Okay,
we can neglect
you.
Both things. Yeah,
yep.
For Knowing Is Half the Podcast, you can always go to facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast or patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. We got to do something special for the people of Patreon, right, everybody? We got to do a certain special live event for the holiday season while we're all around. Maybe we'll watch some holiday cheer and not invite Marshall. You're welcome in advance. And we can get together with the people and do some holiday fair. I think that's needed. Maybe we'll set that up for some time in the next couple weeks before we completely run out of time before the end of the year. Also very, very likely. Otherwise, you can find us on Twitter at GI Joe Podcast, but individually I am at Almighty Ray
at 999 RPMs.
I'm at Gina Ippy.
And everybody, this has been a lot of fun. Marshall, again, thank you so much for being a part of this. Gina, really more so, thank you for being a part of this.
Gina, this was great. Love it. We've got to do it again.
And we will see everybody till next week. May the Christmas specials that you wish to watch get watched by your 4-year-old as well. Well, Chan, you're Scrooge, obviously.
I'm Scrooge. I'm Scrooge. Then
you're
I'll Scrooge.
No, Chan is the most. Chan is the most unhappy of the four.
Yeah, but it's not just that Scrooge was unhappy; he was also miserly. Ray, you're 100% the Ghost of Christmas Past because
I think I am.
That's when your glory days were, and you'll never get them back.
Oh, yeah, no, that's fair. Nothing you're saying is incorrect.
I feel like I'm the Ghost of Christmas Future because I'm just all about like we're all gonna die. This is nothing is worthwhile, you know.
Yeah, that's why you're Scrooge.
I mean, then that makes me the Ghost of Christmas Present, and I do love food, and I am the most pleasant, so that tracks.
Oh, well, that 100. Nice. Obviously, you're Ghost of Christmas Present.
This makes a lot of sense because I feel like I'm Jacob Marley.
Okay,
because I just like to haunt people and just cause them problems. Like you know, you fucked up, right? Yo, Scrooge, you know you fucking up.
I feel like you're just fact, like, I'm gonna show you. You should want to be Scrooge more than Marley because Marley is doomed no matter what. Like that's Marley fine. Is going around with those.
Marley's a realist, man. Marley's a realist. Marley's like, look, this is what it is. This is what you have done. These are the facts.
But now if you're I was about to Marley, learn about yourself. I would not. I wonder if he got any time off of his sentence for helping Scrooge because otherwise, why would he do it? Like if he's just like, hey, you're damned for all eternity. Like if death and all of these things were like, hey, Marley, you're doomed for all eternity. You're going to wear these heavy chains and there's going to be these boxes with gold coins in them, but you could never spend them on anything cool like candy. But right. Like go back and help out your old coworker. If I was Marley, I would be like, okay, cool. So are we getting a reduction in sentence? Like, are you shaving off a few decades from my stay in hell? Do I get to go to like a lower security hell?
But hear me out here.
Is, what he's, else is he going to do?
He's recorded a rap album. He has won chains.
One chain?
He just needs a distribution deal. So That's
oh,
the.
I love that. I
wait,
love
so
that.
That's what he's getting if he helps Scrooge?
Yes.
Okay. All
distro,
right.
Distro. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He's getting points on the package.
It's not even bad.
I mean, what do you want him to do? Like stand on the corner trying to like, you know, like people are going to ignore you anyway. So
I feel like all of this is gold and we should just start the show and just get into it.
This is a very good discussion. I love it.
It's true.
I mean, I already started recording, so.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.